You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. And excited about heading up to Montana tomorrow. Fly up to Montana and be up there for about a little bit over a week. Working with the Bar X project. One of the principals in that, James Moran, former Marine, on the program. So if you want to listen to what the program's about, M-O-R-A-N, you can put it in the search window on the podcast page, and you can listen to that. Pretty cool concept in terms of helping guys reconnect. These guys will all have been guys who served together before, most of them in combat. And so a lot of them will not have seen each other in years. So I've never been to one. But he was telling me, as opposed to just, you know, getting veterans together and, you know, getting away for a weekend, he said, you know, we take guys who've served together and we put them together for a weekend. And the way that All Marine Radio got involved in it is that James listens and reached out to me and said, hey, I'd love to talk to you about something that, you know, I'm involved with. And I think that, you know, I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, presenting your thing. Now, I have to tell you this, that I've had conversations with somebody about doing this before. Yeah, it's my house. And Tim Lynch is the one that kind of planted this bug in my ear. So I owe Timmy a debt of gratitude for that. And so Tim had gone to something that the VA publicized and paid for him to go to. And it was, you know, a veteran weekend thing. And he went in Colorado and he put me in touch with the woman who ran the program. And so I met with her on one of my trips to the Air Force Academy. She lives in Denver. And so I met with her. And so what she wanted to do, she thought it would be perfect because one of the things that Tim said and she echoed was the problem we have is we get veterans together, right? And it's a great weekend, right? And although they don't know each other, I mean, they're from the same communities. They tend to speak the same language and they're great weekends. And then they go home. Exactly. Silence. Right. So now I've had this great weekend. I come home and do I stay connected? Maybe not. And there's a bit of a funk, a little bit of a depressive effect because that's no longer part of my life. And so my conversations with this woman centered around, I said, well, I have a tool that, you know, I can give them where they can change their life because on a regular basis, they will, on a regular basis, they can change people's lives. And so the long and short of that was the VA doesn't allow what they call soft programming at these events. Okay, and that would be you bringing in guest speakers or something like that. You, if they're going to pay for it, you are restricted in terms of what you can do. So that never happened. So when James Moran called me, I was, you know, I mean, I knew of the opportunity, you know, that presented itself at these things. And how do you do it? Well, you do it with somebody who's doing this that's not paid for by the VA. And that's what James does. But what James does is unique in that it's not just a gathering of, you know, veterans that don't know each other. These guys all know each other. Yeah. So he says that he said, look, if you want to see something cool, you should be at the airport when they all fly in and they see each other for the first time in a long time. And he said, it's just, it's cool. And so anyhow, so there's three different groups that'll be up in Montana over the course of the next, some are there now. And you can see that so it'll be interesting for me. I've never done it kind of in this forum. I've done it with small groups, and so post-traumatic winning is a little bit different in a small group, but not much. And the idea is to give people tools that will help them, that will not only change their own life, but then they can turn around and give to other people. And as everybody who knows who listens to it, to this program, the secret to living a great life after you've been through traumatic events is use those events with the traumatic wisdom that comes from the United States Marines that have been on this program, not the Marine Corps. Important distinction. This is not a Marine Corps program, okay? This is the wisdom of Marines. So anyway, it's to use that and as often as you can to change people's lives. So yesterday, because today's kind of a packing day and get ready to go for tomorrow, I went down to San Clemente, got a haircut, right? So I wouldn't look like a bum up in Montana. And then I came back and I needed to mow my lawn so my neighbors didn't get pissed at me while I was gone for a week. So I'm getting ready to mow my lawn and my phone rings and somebody I know on the, is calling me, and so I say, what do you want? And they say, I just need to talk to you. Somebody in my unit killed themselves today. And then I felt like an asshole for answering the phone the way I did. And I said, what happened? And they told me what happened. And so I said, okay, look, I said, are you ready to change people's lives? And he said, yeah, I am. And he said, it just feels so empty that, you know, he didn't have any other course of action, you know, with all of us around, than to kill himself. I said, yeah, you're right. And you know what? That's never going to go away. And so, you know, when events are that fresh, you know, the thing that I try not to do is, you know, I don't sugarcoat stuff. I tell the truth. I don't try to, you know, make it bigger than it is, but I do try to tell the truth. And I said, you know, whenever you think about this, you'll feel that forever. You know, it's just the way it is. But let me tell you what you can do with this. And I said, I'll be happy to come out and do my thing for you. And I promise you, you're going to change people's lives. And then, you know, and then you got to put this stuff into practice, because that's what the 2nd Marine Division is learning, that the class isn't enough, right? The class puts the truth in your face, but how do you sustain that? Well, you sustain it in counseling, because the mandates of, you know, post-traumatic winning for a leader are, you have to love them. And in order to love them, you got to know them better. You can't impact their lives if you don't know them. So one of the things you have to do, right? One of the things you have to do, you have to know them better. Okay. So, and that is how, you know, leaders get to know people. That's how they impact their lives. So that's a piece of it. The other piece of it is, how do you keep this conversation going with them, right? How do you do that? Well, you know, then, so the second piece of it, this is, you have to, you know, you have to service this subject on a regular basis, but you've got to do it in a way that's interesting and unique and fun and personal. Well, how do you do that? You let people that are in the unit tell their stories. You let them teach a piece of this. And so every time we're going to sit down and talk about this, what you have is somebody stands up and they're going to tell their story. And people are going to sit there and go, oh my God, I didn't know that. And then they're going to use their experiences to teach a piece of whatever you want to teach. And I tell them, look, all you got to do is go down to 3 goals and 10 commandments. Pick something. Pick, you got to talk about it. And have somebody tell their story and say, you know, this is what I didn't do, and this is what I've learned about this. And I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna impact them. So there's essentially 3 pieces to post-traumatic winning. And so we talked about that. And I said, and I promise you, if you do that, you will change their life. There's not a thing you can do about what's in the rearview mirror. You can only affect what's in the windshield. And that's what you have to be committed to. And so like I said, I mean, these experiences, you know, come my way constantly. And I think I've shared this before, but I'll say it again this morning. You know, I get asked on a fairly regular basis now, like, how do you deal with this? No, when I got done with that conversation, I felt good. I didn't feel burned or like, oh my God, somebody just laid their shit on me. I don't feel that. What I feel is, and this is what I tell people, when you become an apostle, right, of the philosophy of post-traumatic winning, and you begin to spread the word, right, it will not be a burden in your life, because you know where some of these people are going to head, and they're going to have been people that have been groping in the dark for a solution, because that's how most of us deal with it. And you're going to turn on a light, and you're going to show them a path, and you're going to change their life forever. Now, there's going to be some people that sit in there and stare at the wall, but such is life. Hopefully, you're going to plant a seed. You're going to at least leave enough scar tissue so when they do, right, when they do encounter these things, they'll remember. Yeah, I remember what that dude was saying that day, or I remember what she was saying that day, and maybe I have a couple notes. Let me go investigate that. And so, you know, it is the relentless pursuit of that goal, you know, that you commit yourself to. So I'm kind of geeked that that's going to be going on for the next week. And get the chance to go up to Montana, see Montana Man in his natural habitat. So I'm fired up about that. And then F-18 Man is I'm going to get a chance to see him. We all served together in Afghanistan, so that'll be fun for me personally. And then I've got a call with the VA, and a second call with the VA next week, so I'm fired up about that. And yeah, so exciting week coming up. Exciting week coming up. Also got a call from a friend of mine yesterday and from North Dakota who listens and said, hey, you know, that Cosentini guy, he's a smart guy. I said, he's really not, just for the record. I mean, he said, no, he is. I'm like, no, he's not. it's interesting, the reaction you get, you know. And we were talking, and I had this conversation, a different conversation with somebody else who sent me a note and said, you know, I enjoy your, you know, gloves off style and your leadership perspective and all of this, because it's not something we hear on normal, you know, media outlets. And the people you bring on are leaders and have led in pretty serious circumstances. And you guys look at it pretty clear-eyed. And it helps a lot of us who are trying to sort through the muck to try to figure out which direction's up anymore. So it's interesting. It's interesting to hear what people say about our conversations. And here's another one just from a few minutes ago. Mac, enjoyed the last 2 days' podcast. In response to Thursday, the end state to the cancel culture is Thermidor. Enjoy Montana next week. Belated Happy Fourth. The end state is Thermidor. What is Thermidor? I don't know what Thermidor is. Does that make me stupid? Oh. Thermidor. Thermidor is a part of a home appliance. And it's an oven. Thermidor high-end kitchen appliances have been synonymous with exceptional. Introduced America to the cooktop, rolled out steam. So I think it's an oven. Yeah, that's not a good connotation. So exciting stuff coming up here in the next week, and we'll do the show remotely from Montana. So you'll probably hear from Montana Man and F-18 Man next week. You'll probably hear from some of the people that are involved in the Bar X project. You'll probably hear from somebody who's going up there who I haven't met yet. So and then we'll probably do the Lynch Kenny and Cosentini event. Now that I'm trying to pronounce his name correctly. So next week ought to be fun. And we'll see what it brings, but looking forward to it, flying on Saturday up to Montana. And I'll tell you, I've been through Montana a bunch, living in North Dakota. Every time either I went up or drove back or whatever. And Montana is a gigantic, beautiful state. I will say that. It's about I would tell you it's about a third of the trip to from North Dakota, eastern North Dakota to California. About a third of the trip is in Montana, and it's absolutely spectacular. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful giant state wrapping itself around Yellowstone Park in the northwest corner of Wyoming. So that going on. I'm no stranger to Montana, but this will be the most time I've ever spent there. From Vacaville Man. Hey Mac, how's Kim? Kim is doing better. I don't know, because of HIPAA laws, how much I should discuss, but he would explain it were he on. But your heart has a certain rhythm. You know, the ventricles go in a certain order. Boop, 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 boop. That's what makes the sound of your heart, is your ventricles pumping. and there's an electrical sequence that, that your heart fires on. Well, his got out of sync. And I guess with all the complications that come from that, you know, your heart's not pumping right, so it affects your yourself. So that got fixed, and he said he feels 100% better. So I will probably talk to him today or tomorrow and see, get an update on him. But that was not a small deal. So he continues to improve. So time will tell when he can join us again. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. One of the things I enjoy doing is for you to listen to people in their own words. And so today, it's interesting that the whole Russiagate thing, right? That story sucked the wind out of everything. Well, why was that? Why did that happen? Well, it did it because it was, you know, a route to the president. And anything that gets near the president sends the media into into fits of whatever, you know, fill in the blank, you know, hyperventilation. So yesterday I started seeing headlines that Secretary Milley, General Milley, and Secretary Esper were testifying in front of the House Armed Service Committee. And I saw a little clip and I went, So from doing this program, I know where to look for those hearings. And so what I want you to hear is in their own words, right? I want you to hear about, you know, the whole Bounty Gate thing. I want you to hear about Confederate base namings, and you're going to hear a number of cuts about Russia, and we'll talk about them. So we'll do that in the second hour, but a little bit of education. And, you know, if you look at the news of the day, you know, for instance, do you think those stories, right? Do you think those stories are, let's see, at all mentioned in the top stories on Stars and Stripes, who covers the DOD? They are not. And so, you know, the facts are never as sexy as the bullshit headline. And so one of the things I think the truth is important. Yeah, call me old-fashioned, but I do. And so if you're not devoted to the truth, then I think that then you are what you are. And so so what is the truth in all that? So you're going to hear Secretary Esper and you're going to hear General Milley talk about those subjects. So we'll do that in the second hour today. So no cooking talk. Sorry about that. So it is Friday. Whitney Houston makes Friday official. On this 10th day of July, good morning to you. Yeah, she. That's pretty good. And this is dedicated to all the people at Bar X who have been so gracious to me. And I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to come up there and changing people's lives. And I've been really privileged in my life with all the different people that I've been able to speak to and the stories. You know, that they've shared with me to be able to put something together that I know resonates with people. And, so I just want to just thank them for the opportunity and really looking forward to this. So, this is dedicated to the guys at the Bar X Project, who were, smart enough to invite me to be part of their program, and looking forward to doing great things, not only this weekend, but when these guys and women go home, the great things they'll do for their families, for their friends, and for their communities. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We got to do the weather first. Currently in Quantico, partly sunny and 84. Down the coast, it is mostly cloudy and 84. Down at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Tornado Palms, sunny and 88. They have a heat warning in effect out there. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 66. Camp Smith, partly cloudy. Sun rising in 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 84. South Central Afghanistan is clear evening and 94. And sun still up late in the afternoon in Iraq. It is sunny, clear, and 111. Yeah, that's on the way down from a high of whatever. 115, 116, 117, 118. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio here in Southern California, it is partly sunny and 69, looking for a high of 79 today, 84 tomorrow, 82 on Sunday, on Monday 80, on Tuesday 78, on Wednesday 76, Thursday 76, Friday 79, Saturday 80, Sunday 81 when I come home, and then 81, steady state 81 the whole next week after that. That is a look at your weather. All right, when we come back, we'll check news headlines, and then after that, at the top of the hour, you're going to hear some pretty interesting stuff. You're going to hear Secretary Esper and General Milley talk about the Guard, right? The use of the Guard. One of the interesting clips, I think it's the first one, I'm not sure, but they get asked, like, who gave the order to clear that park? And they say, we don't know. So you'll hear that. That's pretty actually, it's pretty comical. I mean, it's not, but like it kind of is. So anyway, don't touch that dial. We'll check news next here on a Friday at the end of the first third of July. That's right. In five more days, we're halfway to August. Yo. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Jump!
B.B. King and you too. To the news we go. The top stories of Stars and Stripes. U.S. forces Japan extend public health emergency. Now, I just remember this. The retraction is never as sexy as the story, right? Nowhere does the Secretary of Defense statements about any of what you're going to hear in the next hour, nowhere does this make, you know, the front page of Stars and Stripes. And that's the problem with the media. And to me, it's a problem. It's a national problem that never in our history, I don't think, have you had more overheated bullshit that is offered as news than we have right now? And I would probably argue that never in the nation's history has the American public been so misinformed. Yeah, given all the options out there. Because the truth doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that it's white hot. And I do it first. That's what happens in the media business. And this is just an example of it. So you're going to hear, I think, legitimate news from the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But you're not going to see it in any of these publications. Yeah. So the truth, not so much. The headline, the allegation, the leak, big, huge news, right? Bullshit. U.S. forces Japan to extend public health emergency. Coronavirus restrictions tighten on Okinawa after on-base outbreaks. Now, I want to remind you, how many people have been killed in the DOD by COVID? One. Okay. One. Chief from the USS Theodore Roosevelt. So there was individuals that have tested positive on a base in very, very small numbers, so the bases were locked down. Congratulations to the Navy's first black female fighter pilot as she earned her wings. Lieutenant J.G. Madeline Swegel. Yeah. Completed a tactical air program whose graduates generally go fly the F-18, Echo or Foxtrot, or the Golf, or F-35 Charlies. So that means she's kind of graduated from what, Kingsville or something like that, which is basic jets. So, Bravo Zulu to Lieutenant J.G. Madeline Swegel on completing the Tactical Air Strike Aviator Syllabus. The Twitter account said, for the Chief of Naval Air Training on Thursday, Swegel is the Navy's first known black female tactical air pilot and will receive her gold wings later this month. So, congratulations to her. The next story in Stars and Stripes. U.S. arrivals bump coronavirus cases at some European bases higher. So movement around, and you got people that are positive for the virus and being discovered when they show up. U.S. Air Force pilot safe after plane crashes in northern Afghanistan. An Air Force pilot. Now, if you've never seen these things, pretty interesting little planes, right? A U.S. Air Force pilot is safe after ejecting from an Afghan light attack plane before it crashed in northern Afghanistan. wait a minute, are we piloting Afghan light attack planes? The pilot, who hasn't been identified, was on a training flight in an A-29 Super Tucano. Now, this thing is a turbo, right, airplane, right? It's got a propeller. It's a turboprop, okay? It's got a propeller. It's a two-seater. And I would tell you that it probably can go up for a long period of time and do observation, do close air support. And because of its station time, is a pretty huge asset. The story goes on. It is unclear if the American was flying alone or with a member of the Afghan Air Force. The A-29 is a two-seat, but can be flown by one pilot. Aircraft quickly arrived at the remote valley in Baglan, in the Baglan province, after the crash occurred and rescued the pilot. So that in the news, that's always a good outcome, right? When an aircraft goes down. Fort Hood Cavalry Unit deploying to Europe for defender drills. DOD new K-2 troops. This is a terrible story, to be honest with you. And this whole K-2 is a base, right? A former Soviet base that was full of nuclear waste that the United States decided to use. There were people that were instrumental in making this decision that knew it was contaminated, and they did it anyway. And the cherry on top of all of this is the people that have become sick that served in that shit are being denied any kind of benefits or any kind of care, my understanding, by the Veterans Administration. All right, so here's the story. Recently declassified Defense Department documents show the Pentagon knew troops were exposed to multiple toxins and hazards that have led to hundreds of cancer cases, dozens of dead veterans after deploying to Uzbekistan in the early days of the war on terror. The Department of Veterans Affairs is denying most of them care and disability. What? Kashari Khanabad Air Base, known as K2, which is essentially K squared for the Kashari Khanabad, right? Those two K's put together, KK, K squared, right? Then take the, instead of squared, right? Because most people aren't math literate, K2, right? Anyway, that base is a former Soviet air base in southeastern Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan shares a border with Afghanistan. After the September 11th attack, the U.S. established Camp Stronghold Freedom at K2, which was used to support combat missions from 2001 to 2005. Veterans describe a toxic environment at the post where pond water glowed green, black sludge oozed from the ground, and the government posted massive white and yellow signs warning troops to keep out of certain areas due to chemical agents. On Thursday, the House Subcommittee on National Security released previously classified documents provided to the military, provided by the military in 2001, 2, and 4 that reveal a mountain of evidence that service members were exposed to voluminous health risks, including cancer-risking toxins. Most notably, the former Soviet base had contained chemical weapons, enriched uranium, and soil saturated with fuels and other solvents that formed a, quote, black goo, unquote. The documents declassified in February, but defense officials waited until July to alert Congress, according to a release from the House Committee on Oversight and Reform. Former service members who spent time at K2 testified before on Capitol Hill in February that they were aware of at least 400 individuals diagnosed with cancers who served on the base. They said at least 30 of those have died. Now, to the VA. The Department of Veterans Affairs continues to deny these illnesses are related and continues to deny benefits. Representative Stephen Lynch, Democrat from Massachusetts, said in a call with reporters on Thursday. The VA did agree to study to a study on K2 veterans, according to Lynch. It should not have been this hard to convince the VA to make this commitment. K2 veterans have time-sensitive needs that need to be addressed now. Mark Jackson, a veteran who served at K2, says this. K2 was a crime scene in need of an investigation. This is only the beginning of the investigation. The VA considers their hands tied. They feel it's not in their power to grant benefits. They feel at this point, unless it's documented, their hands are tied. They would prefer this was otherwise. Amazing. Amazing. I mean, and I don't care whether we're talking about Camp Lejeune and water. I don't care if we're talking about base housing. Right? The DOD is horrible at taking care of its own. Horrible. I mean, look what guys who had to handle transport and deal with Agent Orange have had to deal with in terms of benefit. It's just denying. And if you've ever listened to any of the interviews I've done with Jack Riley, and Jack Riley is the voice that talks about, you know, at the start of the program, well, goodness, Mac. Right? And he talks about being a disabled veteran and all that. That's Jack Riley. You know, you should hear him talk about, you know, he and his fellow Marines went through as Agent Orange kicked their asses and killed them. And the VA denied that it was a causal relationship between these deaths. It's stunning, absolutely stunning. All right, some headlines from the Wall Street Journal, my favorite newspaper. American Airlines has threatened to cancel some Boeing 737 MAX orders. German biotech sees COVID-19 vaccine ready for approval by December. U.S. coronavirus cases hit another daily record. On the opinion side, Kim Strassel writes a piece about the Supreme Court decisions from yesterday. Supreme loser, Pelosi's House. This documents how the House, and maybe even Speaker Pelosi, I mean, she was not a big fan of the whole impeachment thing. So they rushed it. They didn't do their work. And then they kicked it to the Senate and wanted the Senate to do their work. And blah, 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 blah. So she writes about that. The editorial board of the journal says a bad day for the presidency in terms of the institution, not President Trump, in that both decisions by the Supreme Court's compromise or allow, U.S. attorneys located in the states to essentially harass the president. And whether it's the current president, President Trump, or in the future, Republican district attorneys that would seek to go after, you know, hypothetically President Biden and his son, right? The president now has to answer to that. So anyway, the Wall Street Journal writes about that. In Just the News, my other favorite, website, new steel evidence strengthens Durham prosecution as frustration over inaction grows. So, a British court decision unmasks new evidence of FBI abuses in the Russia collusion probe. So I'll read you a couple paragraphs. It was in London that the whole Russia collusion caper began 4 years ago, so it seems only fitting that as the discredited probe enters its final phase, that damning new evidence of the FBI's failures would emerge back in England. This week, when a British judge ruled against the former FBI human source Christopher Steele, the decision delivered more than an order for the former spy's company to pay damages to two Russian businessmen maligned in his dossier. It also introduced new incontrovertible evidence that Bolter's Attorney General William Barr and U.S. Attorney John Durham's probe into whether the FBI engaged in misconduct and criminally deceived the Foreign Intelligence Service Court to win permission to spy on the Trump campaign. Buried in justice, this is the justice in England, right? Buried in Justice Mark Warby's ruling are several new pieces of evidence that answered long lingering questions about what the FBI knew and when it knew it. For instance, congressional Republicans have long questioned when exactly the FBI knew that the Steele dossier was a product ordered for the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party. After all, the Bureau never revealed the connection to the FISA court, despite its central relevance to the motives of the dossier. Warby's lengthy ruling unearthed a gem of new evidence to answer that question. Steele kept his own notes of what he told FBI agents. The first time he met with them was July 5th of 2016 in London to discuss his anti-Trump Russia research. And Warby revealed the notes make clear that Steele told his FBI handlers from the get-go that the dossier's ultimate client was the leadership of the Clinton presidential campaign. So the FBI knew immediately that the dossier it was using to justify a FISA warrant targeting the Trump campaign was a political opposition research product designed to help the Clinton campaign defeat the Republican component. That's not all Warby's decision provided American investigators. The ruling also discloses that officials at the State Department, where Hillary Clinton had served as Secretary of State, were uniquely involved in Steele's efforts to bring the dossier to attention, including Mrs. Clinton's former Russia Assistant Secretary Victoria Nuland, Clinton's successor as Secretary of State, John Kerry, and Joe Biden's former National Security Advisor Tony Blinken. So it goes on. So interesting. I think honestly that'll be when Attorney Durham, when he finally, whenever he does, tells the story of that. I think that's going to be pretty amazing reading for the American people, right? Just how greasy and shitty our political process is. Yep. The political process that in the last 8 years has given us, right, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden to choose from, right? Blech. Right? I mean, come on. Talk about something that's broke. The Marine Corps identified the Lance Corporal who killed himself. I can't tell you how I know these things, but the Marine Corps has had a spat of suicide in the last week. Lance Corporal took his own life at 29 Palms. The base went to lockdown. And, there was reports of an active shooter on base, so which were not correct. It was a self-inflicted gunshot wound and suicide at the start. The Marine was identified as Lance Corporal Casey Hayden, members of Regimental Combat Team 7. He was promoted to Lance Corporal last February, enlisted in the Marine Corps in 2014. He spent his entire, from New York, spent his entire career on the West Coast, part of the 11th Marine Regiment, part of Combat Logistics Regiment 15, and then the 7th Marine Regiment out at 29 Palms. So keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. The top story in Marine Corps Times. Now, listen to this. So that's the story, right? The Marine Corps identifies a Marine who took his own life. Listen to the headlines in Marine Corps Times. There's two different stories. I don't want to be too critical of Marine Corps Times, but it's not very well put together. That's just and I look at these websites every day. So here's a story. Suspect in active shooter incident on 29 Palms dies. Suspect in active shooter incident. That is so far from the truth right? It's a joke. So what is active shooter incident? That make you click on it? And that's just the bullshit that goes on with the news. Here's another story further down the same page. Active shooter situation on 29 Palms Marine Base ends with self-inflicted gunshot wound. Yeah. Not so much. Congratulations to a woman who was awarded her Green Beret yesterday. So she's the second woman to ever have got to that level. The first woman to earn the title and become a Green Beret. Top five stories in early bird. Then we'll take a break. Then we'll come back and I want you to hear what the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff say relative to some of these issues that are in the news. I think it's important, right? You've heard, you know, just the overheated accusations in the media. And again, anything that can get a story close to the President of the United States evidently is a winner relative to clicks and views. So that's the way it is. The truth, however, is not a winner. The truth is a loser. Okay, top five stories in early bird. The early bird is the only one that gives what you're going to listen to any prominence. Okay? Is the only website that I've seen that gives it any prominence. Number one, military's top officer is open to renaming Army posts honoring Confederate generals. Now, that comes from the testimony that you're going to hear. Okay? Number two story. Esper tells lawmakers he's not convinced Russia offered Taliban bounties to kill troops. You're going to hear him in his own words talk about that. Number three, top Pentagon officials offer lessons learned from the military's response to the George Floyd protest. Okay, so that comes out at the hearing that you will hear tomorrow. So the only people that get it right are the early bird people in terms of. And they even got their numbering sequence correct today. So congratulations to them. Number four, a woman became a Green Beret on Thursday. So that's the number four story. Five, Esper announces leak investigation at the Pentagon. There's some pretty interesting, there's an interesting article about leaks. And I wish I could find where I was reading it earlier this morning. And in both cases, the latest one is a reporter from CNBC is going to go to jail. No. It's not a reporter from CNBC. The reporter was a former lover of somebody who was working inside the DOD who gave her classified material. And so in this trial, all these text messages came out where they're calling each other by their pet names, blah, 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 blah. But in the article, what the writer writes is this is an assault on freedom of the press, right? Wait a minute. The classified material that the United States, you know, Department of Defense leaks like a sieve, protecting that classified material, that's somehow an assault on journalism? It's not. It's holding the people who swear an oath that they will support and defend the Constitution. And they signed documents saying that I will not release or discuss classified information with people. They're holding them to that commitment, which they make. And by virtue of that commitment, they're granted access. Again, you just read this stuff and it's just garbage. It's just garbage. So there's one, and the two stories are similar. There's a similar story at the New York Times. A reporter there was writing stories that contain classified information. Gets traced back to, right, an old lover when she was covering the DOD. She had a relationship with one of the staffers on the Senator House Armed Service Committee. And worked, she, a woman in her 20s, he, a guy in his 50s, And she worked that thing for classified information and then published it. And the New York Times took action on it. And I'm not sure if they fired her or what. But, you know, it's amazing, though, the conclusions that you read the article and then you see the conclusion. You're like, wait a minute, what did I miss here? That somehow or other, somebody's commitment, right, to preserving the secrets and the classified information of the United States government is somehow an assault on journalism in this country. Stupid. Stupid. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play for you the In Their Own Words is what I call the segment. So you're going to hear Secretary Esper and General Milley talk about, you're going to hear them talk about Russia. You're going to hear them talk about, what did I do with my sheet? Oh, here it is. You're going to hear them talk about operational security. You're going to hear them talk about Russia, Russia, Russia. You're going to talk about Confederate names on bases. You're going to hear them talk about bounties. So it's pretty interesting stuff. So don't, I promise you, in their own words, I find it interesting. Interesting. Hopefully you do too. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.